Hello, everyone, and happy to be here. I always feel that, you know, I usually present to public relations and marketing folks, so being surrounded by so many AI experts, I really feel threatened by all of you. But happy to be here, and I was reading the title of this section, and it's called Barriers and Facilitators to Access to Eye Care, and I was thinking, of course, you know, information and that we put out there, in a way, it facilitates, or at least gives the information to the people out there to then come to you and get tested and manage their conditions. So I'm happy to present on behalf of the National Eye Health Education Program, part of the National Eye Institute, and I have to acknowledge Marcela Aguilar and Neal Amari-Rich. Neal, it's the NEHEP director who couldn't be here today. I have no disclosures. And actually, there was a joke in the previous presentation, say, someone said, no one in public health has anything to disclose. They're this close to have a salary. So I love the joke. So I had to pass it on. So I'm really going to talk mostly about the media outreach that we do during Glaucoma Awareness Month in January and National Diabetes Month, even though we do media outreach year long. And of course, the results and the implications of our efforts. As you all know, and I am not going to preach to the choir, vision loss is a growing public health concern, and those rates are projected to increase in the next 30 years. So there's a tremendous need of information out there. We know that this country is changing, the demographics are changing, and that presents a challenge to all of us, including the federal agencies that have to communicate to the people at risk that they have to also take care of themselves. As you see, there's a projected increase of 200% in vision impairment for the next 40 years, and actually among Hispanics it's over 500%, 588% of increase, so the numbers are really scary. And then the demographics of having an older population over 65 and the population over 85 are also contributors to that, those statistics. And diabetes, which is one of the areas that I support, diabetic eye disease, is also a contributing factor. And the way we're working more and more with diabetes educators, AADE, and other organizations involving diabetes, chronic disease directors, it's also part of our day-to-day. So the information we have to put out there, you know, to the people is the main causes of vision loss, and I'm not going to define them, you know them better than I do, and really put in the media and really let them know that this is serious, that the numbers are going up, and actually last year we started sharing the recent data that came along with articles and information, because media loves statistics, media loves, you know, projections, and they like numbers, and that way we can tell them that the rates are going up and that they should write about it. And then, obviously, focusing on the groups at risk. Ironically, last week, actually, I learned about a national organization that had to cut some staff, and they literally cut all the minority groups, people, staff that was working in educating. So it's ironic that we have groups at risk, and then when we don't have money, okay, take out the groups that, the people that manage these audiences, which is very sad. So we know that people really, and this morning I heard it yesterday in the vision care, in this group's presentations, people still think, oh, I don't have anything to do, I'm okay, I don't need to go. So still the information needs to be told to the people. We still need to tell them it's important to take care of your eyes, it's important to go and have your eyes checked. And so then the focus since this year has been within the NEHEP programs, we are actually combining before DED, I call it DED, diabetic eye disease, glaucoma, low vision, ojo con su visión, which is the Hispanic program, and vision and aging, we're like in separate silos. And now we're joining, for example, diabetic eye disease with vision and aging, or we're doing glaucoma, low vision. So really putting information more merged so it really makes sense and it really appeals to a broader audience. You see a lot of reporters writing more about older adults' health, so that's a great leeway to then put information about vision and aging and low vision as well, because it's also tight. So that's one focus that we're going more and more. We keep promoting the messages of the people with diabetes needing that comprehensive dilated eye exam at least once a year, because the numbers tell us that people with diabetes are not getting tested or they don't go. So that's always the message that has to resonate, and we put all the time to the media. And also the early detection, timely treatment, and follow-up that may prevent vision loss and blindness. So that's the messages for the DED program. And then glaucoma, those messages, the bottom, are the ones that we also promote when we put the information out there. So we, as I said, we take two main months, November and January, and really put the information out there more than other months. And actually, NEHEP has a partnership of 65 national organizations, and so we work parallel with them, because they also work with people in the community. And obviously, they work with all those populations at risk. So that's a great way to work with them, and they help us put the information to among the people. Plus, they have events, fairs, activities that they use the resources. But then we want to elevate that the topic. It has to be out there in the media, because many of your organizations also put the information out there. For the more, the merrier. This year, actually, I've seen a lot of information when we're talking to reporters or checking a couple of months before. They already are publishing things a lot about diabetic retinopathy, which is great, because then, great, you already covered. I'm happy for that, because now we know a lot of people they're valuing the information, especially when you have all the reporters writing about Ebola. Then how do you tell them, hey, write about these other diseases as well? So we target different ways, and last year how we focused was by markets that were the highest among glaucoma and then diabetic eye disease. And also identifying spokespersons, like here Dr. Marshall, that's one of our experts. Either the experts are in a certain disease, or they are also serve a certain population, or both. So we identify five spokespersons. They're media trained. They have a message box. They give us their calendar or their assistance. And we really create a whole calendar to have them all available. So when an opportunity arises, then we match them to the right reporter, producer, or newspaper. And then we create a clear call to action, and then identify the print, radio, online, and social media that we will be pitching. And actually, last year was our first year really doing social media a little bit more formal. This year is better. I'll let you know some preliminary results. But because NEHEP, being a federal agency, it's more cautious. It was more, let's see what others are doing. But little by little, they've been moving into social media to this year that we've been getting great results in that aspect. One of the areas is that we always develop a drop-in article, and as you can see, we have the one that is tailored for African-American audiences with African-American statistics, one for American Indians with American Indian numbers, one for Latinos in English and Spanish, for many Hispanic media are bilingual, and then the general market one with really information in general and also older adult statistics. And we also produce public service announcements, and you would think, who uses that? Still, we have magazines and publications that have available space, and they tell us, send us something, and we'll use them, such as Practical Diabetology last year asked us for that, Healthy Black Men, Native American Times. So they ask for the PSA, and it's really, you know, they have a good value in terms of placements. So it's always good to have them on the rear end, and if someone asks for them, here they are. And then access to the spokespersons. We share the bios, we tell them who they are, and then they want to talk to them. Some examples of some of the resources we put are the web button, the social media toolkit, which was the first time we did it. It was actually for National Diabetes Month in last year. And let me tell you that it's been very, very useful. People like it. There we include messages for Twitter, for Facebook, Pinterest, and then links for infographics. We created infographic that shows data, and it's information and a graphic, very, very easy to share. And then the drop-in articles and the PSATs are some examples. The same for National Diabetes Month. And actually the web buttons, for example, people use them as well for other, you know, they put them in a blog, they put them along an article, they put them, you know, they can share in social media. So those are just some examples. As you can see, what we do for glaucoma, the tone is all red, and for the diabetic eye disease is a blue. So some of the results for Glaucoma Awareness Month, it published in 104 outlets, among them Birmingham Times, Telemundo, and Mohican News. And then for print, the interviews, we had 14 interviews, among them Agencia EFE, which is the largest Spanish-speaking news agency in Spanish, and these other shows. And then for National Diabetes Month, it had 118 outlets. This was only in print, and then we secured 10 outlets, among them the Tom Joyner Morning Show, the CNN Español, and Beyond the Heart Radio on Sirius XM. And there were, those are just some examples. We also were in Washington Sun, Choctaw Nation, Senior Journal, Vision Monday, La Prensa, and El Diario New York, which are the two leading newspapers in New York. So as you can see here, the DED right now, there's a missing number there, but combined among the two observant month and the between 2011 and today, we have achieved over 505 million impressions, which is that 500 million people have been exposed within these years to glaucoma or diabetic eye disease messages. We're missing diabetic eye disease for 2014 because right now we are in the midst of still teaching and getting a lot of interviews. And this year is being, the focus has been heavy on social media. We actually had the Surgeon General tweet. We had Dr. Oz tweet. We had USAGov. We had ABC senior health correspondent tweet. So Neil is like super happy, and we are too, because, you know, this year they didn't produce a statement, the NEI. So the strategy was, let's move to social media where everybody is. Let's just identify the leading players or the influencers in health who are the main, and then, you know, follow them or even ask them to tweet. They will tweet. They will tweet. You would be amazed if you just ask. And then you get, so next year, hopefully, I'll tell you all the results on social media, because social media itself is a whole, another presentation that I would love to share with you and give you some little tips and lessons learned. Here you can see how in the website, the unique visitors, which are the people that only went directly to the diabetic eye disease website or the glaucoma website, not got there through NEHEP, through the NEI website. They just went directly there because they use another links to track. And then it goes up in January when it's Glaucoma Awareness Month. It goes up in November when we have the November, you know, the month, the same. And for example, so it shows that people are hungry for information. People want to know. All our materials that I show you, their call to action was visit the NEHEP website. One directs directly to the glaucoma consumer page, not the partners page, not where all the resources are, just to the site that they should just read to know what is diabetic eye disease, how do I talk to my doctor, frequently asked questions. And the other one, the same for glaucoma. So it tells you that people want to know more information. And so those are the implications, but I just want to let you know, for example, and going back here, that month, between 15,000 and 25,000 materials are ordered to NEHEP, brochures, flyers, 15,000 to 25,000 that month only. So that's a lot in 1 month. So it proves that people are like, I want to know more. So just wanted to as this morning, which really I got also very touched with what last year was discussed as priorities of this group, better data to initiate public health policy and implement effective interventions, systematic approach to address vision and public health, at the population and individual levels. And the fourth one, strong collaborations and partnerships. So I was thinking, you know, it's not only us putting the information out there, and it doesn't end when they enter your door and have an eye exam. The education should continue everywhere, you know. How can we be creative in putting the information maybe in the receipt, in the bag when they take some coupons to get the eye drops, then put a flyer, put a brochure in the waiting rooms. Nowadays, you see the waiting room without anything. Well, people are there sitting, waiting. They could, in the bathroom, when they open the door, it might, you know, there in the... Information could be available in so many places, and I think we're not educating them enough. I think information is power, and the more we tell them, they come to your office and they get tested, they get screened, they get continue that conversation, so they still manage their condition. And you know, it's all, as they said today, we all have to do it. That way, we complete that circle, and then you know, we end up with this title, barriers and facilitators. We really are going to be all facilitators to access to eye care. So that's my presentation. Oh. And there's the information to contact Nia or myself. Thank you so much.